John 6:25-35. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, you are looking for me, and not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works of God that God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What miraculous signs then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on, give us this bread, 35 and last." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. To keep your Bible open, if you would, let me ask you, with your Bibles open, the question: if you are fortunate enough to get or to give any Christmas presents, how did it go? I did really well, but not, I have to say, with all the presents I gave. Some of them weren't a big success. I'll show you one of them. This is one I bought for my wife. I know what you're thinking. Generous guy. Should have been really good. This apparently is the Apple iPhone 6S. I'd done extensive research because my wife, Rutli, had said she needed an upgrade. Her old phone looked fine to me, but apparently she did. And so I asked my daughters. They said, "This, Dad, is what you need." I went down Rye Lane to our car phone warehouse, and I had a heck of a job explaining and understanding what the guy was saying. Because this is my phone that I'd had for many, many years. I said to the girls, "Listen, all I need is a phone that phones and that's mobile. The Nokia 3410 ticks both those boxes." But they said, "This is what Mum will really like." Anyway, after hours in car phone warehouse, I come out with it. But with a 2-year contract, which for reasons far too complicated for me to either understand or explain, was the wrong one. On Christmas Day, I'm left with this expensive bit of kit, a 2-year contract I'm tied into that she can't use. So I say, "Okay, I'll give it a go, even though it's way heavier than what I really want." Long story short, as regards the Apple iPhone 6S, I am now, to quote Milton Jones, like a wind turbine. A big fan. Big fan.
It's good, that, isn't it?
Yeah. That's Milton Jones. Jones. I now listen to podcasts, I am on Spotify, I receive photos, I have qualified for my family WhatsApp group. For those who are like I was on Christmas Eve, haven't a clue about that last sentence. I'll tell you, I was driving in our van last week, running out of petrol, I tapped this thing, it told me where the nearest petrol station is. How amazing is that? Has this ever happened to you? You see something or someone in a certain way for years and years and years, And then suddenly something happens. A light shines into your life, whatever it is. And you think, wow, I'd never seen it that before. Has this ever happened to you? That you've got a certain understanding of something like a mobile phone. And then you realize that what you've seen is just the tip of the iceberg, just scratching the surface. This is who Jesus is like. A few weeks ago at the carol service, we heard God's word read at the beginning of John's gospel that we're looking at today and in the coming weeks. And John, the disciple of Jesus, describes Jesus in this way, that he came into the world, and though the world was made by him, it did not recognize him. As I needed, as it were, a whole new way of seeing the iPhone Apple S6, the world is given by John, by God's word, and by God's word in the flesh, who is Jesus Christ, a whole new way of seeing him. We're going to look in John chapter 6, beginning at verse 25, that you have open in front of you, the different ways that the people he's talking to see him, which aren't untrue, but they're just a fraction of the whole picture. And Jesus says, I am, in different ways. Today, I am the bread of life. We're looking in coming weeks at different I am statements of Jesus, which is helping all those who heard him then and who hear him throughout the centuries, who hear him today, to, as it were, see him through fresh eyes. Say, wow, I really didn't understand or see that about Jesus before. Here's the first way that the people who he is with see him. If you turn to the beginning of John chapter 6 on the page before, it is the story, you may know it, it might be familiar with you, of the feeding of the 5,000. And these crowds who have been fed, there's over 5,000 of them, with a boy's packed lunch. They're now seeking out Jesus, verse 25, if you look at that. They're seeking him out. And they're surprised to find him on the other side of the lake, because in the verses just before, he's walked across the lake. And there's a story in those verses, 15 to 25, about that. And now they've come to find him because they want him to do another sign. Well, this is amazing. And verse 15 says, they wanted to make him king. But they only see a little bit of who he is. They haven't seen him fully. And Jesus wants to give them, as it were, fresh eyes, a new insight into the height and length, the breadth and the depth of who this Jesus is. Here's the picture that they come to him with. They see Jesus a bit like this. Can you put up the next slide? Just as they were fed yesterday, they're looking for someone who'll be their king, who will cater for them again. That's what Jesus says, verse 26. I tell you the truth, he says to the crowd. You're looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Jesus teaches us to pray in the Lord's Prayer. Give us today our daily bread. That's a good prayer. If you today have been fortunate enough to have a meal, that is ultimately a gift from God. All good things come from God. He does, praise God, cater for our physical needs. It's why we pray for people with physical illnesses. We will do again today. God is the one who is Jehovah Jireh. He does provide. And so much more. This feeding of the 5,000 is like a sign. It is a sign, like a visual aid of deeper hungers than just the one you feel in your stomach day by day. of a hunger for meaning, for hope, for love. And the greatest of these is love that never goes away, that only God can satisfy, that is at the heart of his kingdom, the kingdom of eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. He's so much more than just a caterer. In coming to him for bread, it's a bit like coming to a house and standing on the threshold of the door and looking at the door and saying, wow, this is a marvelous door. What an incredible door this is. And never crossing the threshold. You see what I mean? This morning, in a few moments' time, I'll be inviting you, on behalf, as it were, of Jesus, who invites us all, to come to his table and to receive the signs of communion. We eat bread and drink wine, non-alcoholic wine, this morning. And these are like the gateway, the thresholds, which the church calls the gateway into a holy mystery. If you think you've got Jesus all summed up in a little box and you've sorted him totally, I'll tell you one thing. If any of us think like that, we're wrong. There are always more of the height and the depth and the breadth and the length of Jesus to receive and understand. But understand this, says Jesus, as we love him with all our hearts and the awe and wonder of our hearts and also with our minds, I am more. I am more than just Meals on Wheels. I am more than Father Christmas, who gives you a nice lunch. I am more than catering services. That was just a sign of the love of God, who goes to a cross and gives his body, the sign of which is the bread, and sheds his blood, the sign of which is the wine on this meal. For you, I am more than this. Here's another thing, which the crowd come to him, seeing him as, which is part of the truth, but not the whole truth. Verse 28. Then they asked Jesus, what must we do to do the works God requires? I wonder if this is the way you see God and Jesus. It can so easily be our default. What have we got to do to deserve God's favor? Can you put up the next slide? We can sometimes see God a bit like this mother blackbird. Can you see? What a sad picture that is. Feeding the child who is clearly her favorite and squashing the other one. Can you see that? What a sad picture that is. But it's easy to see God like this, who has his favorites, the crowd Jesus is speaking to in John chapter 6, verse 28. What must we do? They're steeped in the Old Testament law, which was not wrong. Jesus has come to fulfill it. They are used to doing things which are part of saying which tribe they belong to, the tribe of the people of God, the favorite ones. But the prophets, throughout God's word in the Old Testament, had given clues that one is to come who will be for all the world, whose feeding with the bread of life is not only for God's people, but God's people extended to cover the whole earth. Look at verse 55. Can you see verse 55? Jesus quotes Isaiah. What does Isaiah say? Chapter 54, verse 13. He's quoting, he says, God will teach everyone. And Jesus says, this is the bread of life that comes down, not just for you, but for the whole world. It's quite easy to think and quite a nice feeling that we are one of God's favorites. And God is especially fond of you, and also people very, very different from you. Whenever we get to the Olympics, I so love the medal tables because recently the tribe I belong to are quite near the top. But my family have taught me very unwise to gloat. Very unwise. Even though Austria isn't even on that list. Because 2 years after every Olympics, there's the Winter Olympics. And you know what happens then with the Austrians? I'll tell you, the shoe is on the other foot. Or as we put it, the ski is on the other boot. They're right up there. I've got a friend who comes from a little island on the other side of the world. Every time it's the 4x100 meters, he's saying, we're the special ones, you've just dropped the baton. In God's kingdom, everybody's dropped the baton. And nobody's at the top of a medal table because there isn't a medal table. And Jesus' invitation to receive from him, as we do this morning, these signs, is for everyone. There's no baton to hold, race to run, or slope to ski down. Here's the criterion for the love of God, the bread of life. Verse 35, whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Verse 37, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. All you've got to do is come. That's what Jesus says. There's no special ones. God doesn't have the favorites he feeds and the others he squashes. Everyone's invited. And here's the final thing they need to see afresh. Can you put up the final picture? You see, it is a truth that we can call on God. God's word says, ask and you will receive. And it says in James, you don't receive because you don't ask. You can ask. But don't think that you've got God in your back pocket at your beck and call, that you've chosen him and voted him. He is a king who has chosen you. You didn't choose me, said Jesus. I chose you. Back in the Old Testament, when Moses, God through Moses, is describing the law, he says to God's people then to take off any tribal glasses that make them see themselves as superior or thinking they've got God in their back pocket. This is what it says in Deuteronomy 7. He says, I set my affection on you and chose you, not because you are more numerous than other peoples. It was because simply I loved you. It's called in scripture, a covenant. That means an agreement. An agreement between God's people and God. It's a covenant of affection. We can call it grace. And it's amazing because we haven't deserved it. And we can ask God, who is the Holy King, but he is not the king at our beck and call. He's chosen us. And the time I find that I see this God most clearly is when I become like God's people so often in Scripture, who throughout the Old Testament we read of God's people being in exile or in the desert at their wit's end, be it through sin they have committed or circumstances overwhelming them. Where we see the real Jesus and the real King and his covenant of affection, when he satisfies our hunger and quenches our thirst, when we're the most empty and the most parched. God fed Israel in the desert when they had no other resource. And Jesus here tells the people, in case they'd forgotten, it was God and not Moses who fed them in the desert, verse 32. They had nowhere else to turn. No bread, no water. And God, in his covenant of affection, fed them, cared for them. He does to you and to me We need to see afresh the King who is Jesus, who chooses us and says yes to all who come to him. This morning, as he invites you and me to receive these signs of his love, his covenant, he invites you to take off these glasses. We have the final slide. Take off the glasses that make our Jesus too small. Is your Jesus too small? If he is, take off those glasses. He's a lot more than just giving you a full stomach. He's a lot more, his love is a lot bigger than just for you and for people like you and me. It goes all over the world. He's a lot more than a king who we've somehow voted in. He is the king. He's not at our beck and call. But he is the Father who we can call on at any time. And in his covenant of amazing grace, it's a holy mystery we can receive from him. As the band come forward, in a moment we're going to sing this prayer, which is in a way a prayer of confession, confessing that this King who is Jesus, who we haven't fully got, and in one way we never will, who is the bread of life, who satisfies every hunger, that if you're like me, at times you've made him too small, would you please stand with me? And if this is your prayer of confession, you can simply echo it in your hearts with an amen in your souls. Lord Jesus, we confess to you ways we have made you too small. For times when we have just seen you as someone who will give us an easy life in this world, who will just fill our physical needs, our immediate needs, you are so much more. We are sorry for the ways we have thought we are better than others, and that you loved us and we deserve that love more than those other terrible people, and forgot your covenant that goes round the whole globe. And we are sorry for any times we have taken you for granted, that we've put ourselves at the center of life, on the throne of life, as though we could choose you, control you, have you at our beck and call. We are sorry, for you who are the creator, you are the center, you are the king. Your holy mystery invites us to receive from you. We come to you this morning empty-handed, and we pray together, Jesus, be the center.